Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Recordati 2015 preliminary results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Marianne Tachke, Director of Investor Relations of Recordati. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon or good morning to everybody, and thank you for attending the Recordati conference call today. Fritz Quindt, our CFO, will be presenting and commenting upon our full year 2015 results and our objectives for 2016. For a better understanding of his presentation, please access the set of slides available on our website, www.recordati.com, under the Investors section and Presentations tab. At the end of the presentation, we will answer any questions you may have. Please go ahead, Chris.
Okay, thank you, Marianne. Good afternoon or good morning to everyone. We are pleased to comment our full year 2015 results, which confirm sales growth and further margin improvement. Consolidated revenue is 147.7 million, up by 6.1% compared to last year. And we are talking about organic growth. Our margin continues to improve. EBITDA at 30.3% of sales is 317 million, up by 15.8%. Operating income at 26.6% of sales is 278.5 million, an increase of 20.6%. Net income at 19% of sales is 198.8 million, an increase of 23.3% over 2014. Then, let me underline that we continue to improve and to grow our margin. We continue also to deliver strong cash generation. Net debt is 88.7 million at the end of 2015, a reduction of 97.3 million compared to last year, and even after having paid out dividends for a total amount of 110.8 million. The strong cash generation together with improvement of our margin. Let's now enter in our analysis on slide number three, sales of our main products, starting with Zanidip, Lercanidi Pinaplain. Zanidip sales grow by 5.9% in 2015. Sales volumes are growing mainly in Germany, in UK, Poland, Turkey, and to licensees mainly in China and Australia. During the year, we have competed favorably with generic version of the product. This is mainly in Germany and in the UK, but we are very pleased by this performance of our Lercanidi Plain, which is growing even in a generic environment. Sales of Zanipress, our combination of Lercanidi, Pina and Enalapril, are up by 7.2%, mainly due to the performance of the product in Italy, in Turkey, and of sales licenses. The overall sales of the Lercanidina franchise in 2015 exceed 180 million, better than expected. Then, overall, good performance of the franchise of Lercanidipin. Other important product in our portfolio is Urorec. Urorec now has been successfully launched in 30 countries with sales of 68.3 million. During 2015, which is up 15.6%, mainly due to the performance of the product in Italy, Turkey, France, and Spain. Urorec was also recently launched in Tunisia, and overall, this product has achieved a market share of 18.2% of the alpha blocker market in the 17 main European markets, in line even better, you know, better than our expectations. Sales of Rivazo, here we are talking about pitavastatin, our statin, in Spain, Portugal, Ukraine, and Greece, and through a license agreements in Switzerland are 28.4 million, up by 11.4%. Overall, the product has achieved a market share of 6.9% of the starting market in the four countries. Other corporate products grow overall by 3.8%. This line comprises 19 products sold in multiple territories, mainly in Europe, six of which are OTC products. Now, our specialty indicated for the treatment of rare orphan disease generated in the year sales of 153.1 million, an increase of 24.3%. We are talking of an organic growth of our orphan business, which is driven by the good performance of all the products in the portfolio, as well as to the positive foreign exchange effect following the revaluation of the American dollar, because we have an important part of our business in the US. Okay. Slide number four. This graph shows the breakdown of our revenues by type of product. Let's now move on our geographical presence, and then on slide number five, you can find composition of revenue by geography. Let's start with our Italian market. Sales of pharmaceutical in Italy are down by 3.5%, which is due only to the termination of the license of Etat, an important product that we have in license from Lundbeck as from the month of June 2014. Excluding this termination, the business is growing, and in particular, Urorec, Zanipril, and Lercapril, which are the two brands of the combination of Lercanidipin and Enalapril and Lercanidipin in Italy, Cardicor, are performing very well, as well as the treatment for the rare diseases, which show significant growth. Pharmaceutical sales in France are slightly down by 0.4%, and this is also due only to the residual effect of the Adagen license termination that we have last year. Excluding the rare disease business, which is impacted by the termination of Adagen, in France our business, specialty, primary specialty care business, increased by 2.7%. The portfolio is performing well, and in particular Urorec and Methadone is doing very well. And the OTC product portfolio, we have an important OTC business in France, is growing by 8.5%. In Germany, sales are up by 11.9%, mainly thanks to the significant sales growth of Ortoton and also due to good performance of Lercanidipin, and here again the product for the rare disease treatment. The group pharmaceutical business in the USA, I would like to underline again, is only dedicated to the marketing of products for the treatment of rare disease. Sales in 2015 are 82.1 million and include, as I said, a positive currency effect exchange of 13.5 million. But let me underline that in local currency, sales of this business in the USA increased by 24.7%. That's very strong performance, even if we exclude the positive currency effect in the US. Sales in Turkey, we are talking in Turkey of our primary specialty care business, are up by 8.9% and include a negative currency effect following the recent devaluation of the Turkish lira. We prefer to comment the performance in local currency, and in local currency sales of our Turkish subsidiary grow by 14.2%, thanks double-digit growth in Turkey, thanks mainly to the good performance of all our corporate products, in particular Urorec and Zanipress and Lercadip, and also a very strong performance of our local products, mainly Victonorm, Creval, and Cavra. Revenue generated in Russia, Ukraine, and the other CIS market is 72.4 million, which are down by 11%, compared to the preceding year, and this is only due to the negative currency effect on sales in Russia, also due to depreciation of the ruble in 2015, which has an effect in our sales of around 20.4 million. Sales in Russia, in local currency again, are up by 16.7% over the preceding year, thanks to the growth of all our portfolio, including also the corporate product, which has been launching. In particular, we are talking about Procto-Glyvenol, UroRec, and also Zanidip. Then, here again, a negative translation effect based on the depreciation of the local currency, but very solid and continued good performance of the portfolio acquired in Russia. In Spain, sales are 72 million, up by 5.6%, mainly due to the performance of Livazo and UroRec. Livazo is the most important product in Spain. The successful launch of Virirec, Alprostadil, which is a new topical treatment of erectile dysfunction. Also, sales of treatment of rare disease are growing significantly in Spain. Let me now comment on our sales in North Africa, which are 43.7 million, which are up by 14.1%, and comprise both the export sales generated by our French subsidiary, Bucherer Recordati, in these territories, and in particular in Algeria, and also sales generated by our subsidiary, Opalia Pharma, the Tunisian pharmaceutical company acquired during the fourth quarter of 2013. Then, also in North Africa, driven by the good performance of corporate products, we are growing by 14.1%. Then, our international sales grow by 9.4% and comprise, as usual, the sales to our licensees for our corporate product. We are performing well with all our product of corporate product, in particular canidipine and the combination. We include also in this line Bucherer Recordati sales and Casdin Recordati export sales, and also the part of the orphan business worldwide, excluding the USA. Then, also in the part of the world in which we are not a direct presence, we have one important growth by around 10%, exactly 9.4% increase. Slide number six, we are talking about our geographical breakdown, and this graph shows the geographical breakdown of our pharmaceutical revenue, in which you will see that we have a very balanced presence in all the European markets. We have now a growing presence also in the USA, and Italy represents in all our business 20.2% of our sales. Let's now move on our financial result, P&L, and slide number seven. Our result for 2015 shows, as I said at the beginning of my presentation, further significant margin improvement, which is due essentially to the progressive leveraging of our organization and the good performance of high-margin business. And let's start with the gross margin, which is 712.5 million in the period, with a margin of 68% on sales, a further increase over that of the preceding year due to the higher proportion of higher-margin product sales and also to the termination of Entact in Italy, a relatively low-margin product. Let's say that also in 2015, we have continued to slightly improve our gross margin thanks to a good product mix. Selling expenses increase less than sales and are therefore down as a percentage of revenue at 28% on sales, and this thanks to the increased efficiency of our group commercial organization. R&D expenses are 76.7 million, which is down by 10% compared to those recorded in 2014, also due to interruption of the development of the product NX-1206 for the benign prostatic hyperplasia. Now, G&A expenses are up by 3.2%, even also in this case, they increase less than our sales, and therefore we have a reduction of these G&A expenses as a percentage of sales, and now they are at 5.6% on sales. Then we are improving the gross profit, and we are leveraging our SG&A organization, which are the major driver for this improvement of our operating income, which moved from 23.4% in 2014 to 26.6% in 2015. We have also other expenses net of other income, which in 2015 are 5 million, and these expenses include also an accrual of 2.6 million for reorganization costs. Let's move on the financial side. Net financial charges are 13.1 million, a decrease of 3.2 million due mainly to the reduction of interest charges related to the medium long-term loans. The effective tax rate during the year is 25.1%, substantially in line with the preceding year, and net income and 19% of sales is 198.8 million. Here we have an increase of 23.3% over the last year, and let me underline that we have been achieving this result based on the organic development of the company. We are increasing our net income margin from 16.3% to 19%. That's a very solid and improvement in our margin. Slide number 8. Here the slide shows the split of revenues and EBIT between our two business segments, treatment of rare disease and primary specialty care. While the segment dedicated to treatment for rare disease generates 14.6% of our sales, it accounts for 22.6% of EBIT, and is a very important business in our portfolio. Let's now comment our EBIT. Our EBIT margin on sales stands at between 41 and 42 for the rare disease segment, and of around 24 and 25 for the primary and specialty care business. And both improved during the year. In slide number 9, you will find our financial position. As I said at the beginning, very strong cash generation during the year. The net financial position shows at the end of the year a net debt of 88.7 million, a reduction compared to end of 2013 of 14 at 97.3 million. And we have achieved this improvement even after having paid out dividends for a total amount of 110.8 million. Then very strong cash generation in the year. Now we have our financial projection for 2016, and for the full year 2016, we expect the group to continue to grow organically. These assumptions are based on inorganic growth, and our objectives are to achieve sales of between 1 billion and 70 million and 1 billion and 100 million. Then we expect to have an operating income of between 290 million and 300 million, and net income between 205 million and 215 million. However, these, as I said, are our objectives. We expect to continue to grow organically and to have a slight improvement of our margin, but I would like to underline that we continue to are strongly committed to making further acquisition, and we expect this acquisition to add contribution to our growth also, we expect also in 2016. Then these are the organic growth, and we continue to confirm the commitment in our acquisition strategy in the acquisition arena. Here I have I've terminated my presentation and I am available for any question you may have.
Excuse me. Please go ahead.
Yes, you can open the question and answer period. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Eleanor Fung with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. Three, if I may, and I'll jump back into the queue. Firstly, for your 2016 guidance, could you help us think about the pushes and pulls for your SG&A and R&D spend assumptions off your 2015 base? Secondly, given your 2016 guidance implies 27% EBIT margin at the midpoint, is there room to raise your 2017 guidance, which you had previously set at 25 to 26% EBIT margins? And thirdly, on your expansion of the rare disease business to Brazil, Colombia, and Mexico, could you comment on how you are thinking about the sales growth potential in these markets and over what time frame? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Eleanor. First of all, the question was related to 2016 G&A. Let's say that our 2016 objective, as you said, implies a 27% margin, around 27% margin, which means a slight improvement compared to 26.6 we have achieved in 2015, which is driven mainly by the leverage of our sales organization, and which means that we expect a slight improvement in our SG&A. In the 2015, SG&A were 33.6%. Let me say that, as I said during the conference call, selling expenses 28% of sales, general G&A 5.6%. We expect slightly improve this percentage, to reduce this percentage based on the leveraging of the organization. Second question was related to 2017 objective. We are improving our margin. We are now we expect for 2016 one margin which is in the region of 27%, and let's say that we believe that the margin achieved to date and we expect to achieve next year will be sustainable going forward, which means that we can in some way consider this margin as an objective for 2017 going forward. Having said that, in terms of sales expectations, we have announced in February 2015 one objective which includes also acquisition, and we confirm, as I said during the conference call, that we continue to be strongly committing in the acquisition, and then you can consider the sales expectation announced in 2015, including the acquisition, as achievable if acquisition are included. Then we can confirm the objective in terms of sales, and we can also confirm that the current expectation in terms of margin could be sustainable going forward. Third question regarding the expansion of our orphan business. This is absolutely in line with the development of our orphan business. We expect next year to continue to grow double digit our orphan business. We expect, which is driven by both development of our exploit of our product portfolio and geographical enlargement. Geographical enlargement are linked to the entry in this new market, but we are talking about ultra rare diseases, and then we don't expect to have from the beginning higher sales in this environment. In this country, the first activity is mainly linked to the market access, and then the geographical expansion contribute, but is not the main driver for the growth of the orphan business, but is strategically very important because orphan business is we want to continue to develop, and the objective is to try to have a worldwide business, and we believe that the current portfolio could allow us to have this global view. Then for in 2015, we are working on South America and in Canada, and then we will think on Far East, for which we have some licensing out activity, but we are progressively working on developing also in this arena our orphan business. But we are talking about few million of sales because we are talking about ultra-rare product for which at the beginning, the most important activity is the market access activity.
Thank you.
Okay, ciao Eleonora.
The next question is from Martino De Ambroggi with Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. One more question on the guidance for the current year. What's the R&D assumption underlying the guidance? First. Second, I presume Forex, well, I ask you, what are the assumptions on Forex underlying the guidance? And just I have a sorry if I missed it, but what was the Forex impact both at the top line and EBIT level in 2015?
Okay, let's start with the last question. We have been impacted by FX in 2015 on sales revenue line. We have been impacted negatively by the devaluation of the ruble and the Turkish lira, which has been partially offset by revaluation of the US dollar. Overall, the impact for the full year of the FX could be estimated in 0.4%, which means something in the region of €3.5 million. Then we have been able, based on the presence in different geographies, to balance the FX effect. For 2016, in this objective, we don't disclose exactly our budget assumption, but let me say that are not very far from the current one, a bit more positive on the ruble side. But let's say that with the current guidance, we decided to give a range also because we expect to be in some way impacted or positively or negatively by the currency effect, but the baseline is essentially not very far from the current one. And the third question, the first from
Fritz, if I may, I imagine at EBIT level basically zero impact.
Not zero because we have a natural hedging, but we have a minor impact because we have a cost which are denominated in local currency. We have some impact also in the EBIT margin, but which absolutely not to the same extent as at the revenue level. Let's now move on. The R&D, we expect for in 2016 our R&D to be between 7-8%, let's say the assumption is at 7.5%, which is essentially in line with the level of expenditure of 2015, and we are progressively focusing our activity in the orphan business and also in specialty type of product.
Okay, if I may, one more question on the guidance going forward, because you mentioned 27% return on sales is sustainable going forward, but should we consider it as a cap or pending further acquisitions? Maybe there will be more efficiencies and this could grow, but only in case of acquisition. So just if you could elaborate on it.
Okay, then this is our best estimation today. We expect for sure the improvement in our margin could be linked to the type of acquisition, but organically we consider, we are talking about organic evolution, I think organically we can consider this 27% as sustainable going forward. Then for us, we try not to have a cap in terms of profitability, for sure. We would like to have a floor, not a cap. Then we are working for improving, but the real impact of a new acquisition is also very strict to the type of acquisition. As I said, if you're talking about only product, we could, from the beginning, to leverage existing organization. If we are talking about companies, even in existing territories, in this case, the contribution probably is not from the year zero, because we have some reorganization. We could have synergies, but not from beginning. But let's say 27 is the best estimation we can have today.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Dil Judge with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi there, Dil Judge from Credit Suisse. A few questions if I can. Firstly, can you discuss your experience in emerging markets in terms of underlying demand and ability to repatriate earnings? What do you expect in terms of Russian demands for 2016? And can you discuss a little bit more your like-for-like for OTC business development? Is that still a priority to add?
Could you repeat the third question, please?
The third one,
yes.
Yep. How is the like-for-like for your OT business developed? Is it OTC business, that
OTC
is?
OTC business.
Yep. Is it still a priority to add capacity there?
Okay, let's start with your first question. We are in emerging markets, but let's say that our emerging market is Russia, our emerging market in Tunisia, our emerging market is Turkey, and then what is our experience? We have no problem in terms of repatriation of capital, because in this market there is no such kind of constraint. We are not talking about, when I talk about Algeria, I'm talking about one market in which we are selling from our subsidiary in France, that we are not impacted by any constraint, any limitation in terms of repatriation in our so-called emerging market. We are, in our experience in the emerging market, we, as I said, means that we are increasing in our business the FX risk, because locally we are doing very well, we are growing, we are managing the business through volume impact in Turkey, through volume and price effect in Russia, but we have an impact in our P&L which is linked to the translation from the local currency in euro. But excluding this, we don't see any major risk in our emerging market. Regarding Russia, then, Russia is, we have been growing the business last year by, by 16.7, which is in part only due to a comparison base, because last year we changed the distribution model, and then this is not, let me say, in market evolution. But having said that, we are growing mainly through price increase. We are keeping our unit, and we are growing in the Russian market by price increase. We try to be prudent in the price increase, because we want to maintain our market share, and then we follow the inflation, but we try to manage our Russian business carefully in terms of price, and this we expect to be also the way in which we will manage the Russian business in 2016. No important volume increase. We are only growing volume in our corporate products, which are in the launching phase, and then it's not related to the overall performance of the market, but is mainly driven by the success in launching our product. But overall, the major driver we expect to be a price increase. The third, could you repeat? Because it's more.
What is the like-for-like on what business?
On your OTC?
On the OTC.
Like-for-like on
the OTC. Then OTC is for us, it's a local business. Then we have a very well-known local brand. And then overall, we expect our OTC business to be in line with the GDP growth in each market. And then we expect to grow in line, essentially, with the growth of the company. And because it's difficult to say like-for-like in the OTC because we prefer to comment geographically or by product. But we don't see any major risk of threat in our OTC business.
Okay, thank you. And just one more, if I can. Not really mentioned Grasper. Can you talk more about your launch plans and level of spending in 2016?
Okay. Then, first of all, let me remind you that Eritech, which is our partner for Grasper, at the end of September, they filed for a marketing approval, which is expected in summer, end of summer 2016, in the best case. Then, we are now waiting for the approval. The process is managed by Eritech. On the other hand, we are initially organizing our business line because the Grasper will be managed in the orphan drug business, but we expect to build progressively for the Grasper one specific organization. But we don't expect to be significant cost in 2016 because we are now in the process for the approval, for waiting for the marketing authorization. This could be an important item in terms of development of the sales and cost associated mainly in 2017. But let me add, we are talking about a few people. We are not talking about a huge organization. Let's say that we don't expect the Grasper only to be sold only through the existing organization. We expect to build a specific very few line, which we expect to be not very huge. We are talking about few people, very specialized people, very dedicated, with a very high knowledge in the business. But for 2016, the impact of Grasper, we expect to be not significant.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one. The next question is a follow-up from Eleanor Fang with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, a couple of follow-ups, please, if I may. Firstly, just on thinking about your KazanFleet portfolio, just wondering if you could comment on your plans for geographical expansion of those products into other geographies. Which target markets within your subsidiaries are you thinking about? Secondly, wondering if you could provide some broad guidance on how you expect your Turkish business to evolve. Thanks very much.
Regarding
Kazan portfolio, we are in the phase of selling directly in our major markets part of the Kazan portfolio, and we are thinking on launching the new drug, which means that we are selling now directly in France KazanFleet and Fosfosoda. We are doing the same in Italy. We are starting selling this product in Russia mid-2015. We expect to start selling in Turkey in 2016. Then we are in the process of First of all, to sell in our current organization, through our current organization, the Kazen portfolio. Kazen is also a minor business in our export business, and probably will be a priority going forward. The first priority was to directly sell and to have the full margin of the Kazen product in all our European and emerging markets where we have our sales organization. Then is progressively well.
How will the Turkish business expand?
Then Turkey, in as we are doing very well in Turkey. We are growing locally double digit. We expect for the time being to continue to develop our portfolio. We have room for growing. We have launched the combination last two years ago. We have launched Urorec Siloders two years ago, and then we are talking for having the reimbursement of Livazo. Then today, the expansion of our Turkish business is mainly linked to the organic development. It's not a priority in terms of acquisition.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Del Judge with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Ms. Judge, your line is open.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Sorry about that. You've highlighted that the 16% growth in Russia is not the same as in market sales. Is a 20% growth in the U.S. representative, and is that rate sustainable with your current portfolio?
Okay, let's say that in the U.S., 2016 was very successful. We expect to continue double-digit growth, to say it's 20 or 15, we will see in 2016. But we are doing very well. There is room for our product to grow in the U.S. Then overall, let me comment something on the orphan business overall. Orphan business in 2015 grew by 24.3%. We have been positively impacted in this area by the revaluation of the U.S. dollar, and this has an impact of 11.6%. Then overall, the business grew by 12.7%, which is in line with our expectation to continue to have a double-digit growth in the orphan arena, and we confirm also for 2016 this kind of level of growth.
Ms. Tachke, Mr. Squindo, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, then we'll say goodbye to everybody, and thanks for attending the call.
Bye.